City Church. How are we feeling this morning? How many of you feel like during worship or even that quiet moment we just took there, unscheduled at the end of worship, how many feel like God spoke something to your heart? Yeah. Amen. Even if it was just an impression, maybe not audible, but here's my encouragement. Write that down. Write it down. Because you know how prone we are to forget. And you know how easy it is for the devil to say 10 things that will try to override that even before you leave this building today. So jot it down. As a reminder. As an Ebenezer for God in your life today. I just want to encourage you to do that. I'm so excited to be with you this morning. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Pastor John. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, North Braddock. And we're just so glad that you're with us this Sunday morning. So many amazing things are going to be happening this Sunday morning. And first and foremost, I am super over the top excited because today is our connection group kickoff Sunday. Come on, somebody. And so if you'll look around you on the seats around you, you'll see a little purple card here. And this is so that you can sign up for a connection group at the end of the worship experience. And so when everything's over, it's not over, it's just transitioning. And so there will be our group leaders will be out in the hallway. There's little posters in the hallway, and they'll be standing there, and they'll be ready to receive your card so that you can get signed up for a connection group. And if you're like, what's a connection group? You can just pull out your mobile device, open the camera, scan that QR code there, and you can actually look and see the groups. You know, we have them here at our campus, and we've got three other campuses all around the city. And so you can go to any one of them, but, you know, if you're unsure, you can fill out the portion you know, and then when you go out after the worship experience, find the group you're looking for. They'll be on the wall there, and you can hand it to that leader. Say, I'm excited to be in your group. So that's one thing that I'm super duper excited about today. And another thing is this, is today we're kicking off a brand new sermon series called The Master's Plan. And so this is a series that's based off of a book that our church has used to help us to execute Jesus's plan here on earth for what this month will be 43 years. That's right. This church has been around almost as long as I've been alive. And so if you would like to get a copy of the book, because we're not obviously going to be able to cover the whole book, but they're going to be $10 back at our connection point. And so you can head on back there. It's a phenomenal book. You'll be hearing about it on these subsequent Sunday mornings starting today. A lot of our connection groups, we have groups for men, groups for ladies. A good number of our connection groups are what are called big idea groups. And a big idea group is just a group that when you get together during the week, you unpack what was in the sermon that previous Sunday. And so this would be a good book to have if you're in a big idea group or you're going to sign up for one. So they'll be back there for you, $10 for that, and it'll be a great resource for you. And so I'm super excited about this. And since today we're going to be talking about the master's plan, Jesus being the master, I know that phrase has some trigger warnings on it in our culture in this day and age, but I want to encourage you. He's a good master. He loves you. He cares for you. And so when we're talking about the master's plan, we're obviously talking about the things that Jesus himself wants to see happen in the earth. And so if I was to tell you right now that I could give you the strategy for changing the world, making a difference in the world, I could give you the strategy, would you do it? Could you do it? And if you would do it, and you could you do it alone? And so here we are, almost 2 months away from one of the most divisive holidays in our country, Election Day. Jeez, my goodness. See, and this is what happens when a nation wanders away from God and makes human leaders their God. Now, we got to elect good leaders because we have the freedom to do that in this country. But, you know, God is our master, our king, our sovereign, our savior. And so with election season coming, you know, that means political ads are here. Woo! Yay! I hate political ads. I hate them. Them and the Huntington Bank ads. I don't know why. I don't bank with Huntington. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but with their recent ad campaign, I never will. I'm just saying. But these political ads are basically these candidates, not just at the executive federal level, i.e. president, but at our legislative level, the Senate, the House. And don't forget, there's state governance and local governance. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking your only vote needs to be for president, then you need to reorient. We got to vote at every level. But at the same time, these individuals are putting out their master plan. They're giving you their strategy for changing the world. And so if you were in that position and you had 4 years to change the country, what would your plan be? Would it be to fix education? Would it be social programs? Would it be economic development, housing development? What would it be? And what would your strategy be to do it? Like, what would you do first? Would you raise money? Would you spend money? Would you distribute resources to people in need? Or would you do what a lot of our politicians do, distribute our money to their rich friends who already have more than enough? I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Just saying. Would you run a huge ad campaign, social media? I'm fill in your name, improve this message. See, what would your strategy be? See, because no matter what, 2 months from now, we will elect a new leader for our country. And they're going to have to come in and back up what they say. And so listen to what they say or what they're not saying. But they're going to have to come in and do this. And without fail, one of the first moves, if, and this is whether you're running for political office or if you're taking over as a CEO of a company or something, one of your first moves is going to be hiring the right people. And so whoever gets elected president is going to appoint a cabinet. And typically when they appoint a cabinet, or if you take over a business or a department in whatever workplace you have, you're going to have the opportunity to hire and train the people on your team, because you're going to need to have a good team, because nobody can do this alone. If I gave you the strategy to change the world, you will not be able to do it alone. Matter of fact, there's nothing in this world you can do alone. And you need to stop believing the enemy's lies that are telling you, I can do this on my own. I'm an independent man or an independent woman. No, you're not. You are deeply dependent. And the sooner we recognize our dependence on him, the quicker we get to accomplishing his plan in our lives. See, and that's one of the things, I'll probably talk about it here in a little bit, but Western Christianity has done a disservice to the people of God, because we've made Christianity about God's plan for your life. As if God was somehow subjugated to be an amendment to your life to make your life better. But the Bible clearly teaches and the gospel clearly states that when you receive Jesus Christ, you become a servant to a master who has a plan, a master plan. And it's not about your life, it's about his kingdom. But the great thing about his kingdom is that in Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus says, when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all this other stuff you're chasing will be added unto you. And so while our leaders and different bosses will hire and fire the right people and assemble a cabinet, Jesus does the same thing, because that's the amazing thing. This is what I love about God, right? Here you are sitting thinking you can do it on your own. But God himself, when he came in the flesh, Jesus Christ, understood that his plan for world domination, that's right, Jesus didn't come to make friends. Jesus didn't come to take requests. Jesus came to take over. And his plan for the world wasn't to come and wave his magic God wand, which a lot of us want him to do in our lives. Just Thanos snap it and all my enemies will be gone. But he came and he knew his plan involved bringing other people on board. And while our leaders and the bosses in our company, they might hire the best, the brightest, the sharpest. You know what Jesus did? He hired the worst. He hired the most jacked up people he could find. Intentionally. See, y'all think I'm playing. He hired me. I know how messed up I am. But Jesus, when he chose his disciples, he chose 12 men from different backgrounds. Matter of fact, backgrounds so different, he knew that when the 12 of them together, they'd fight. There were going to be things they disliked about each other. And so he brought these 12 in because his goal wasn't to pick the best. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And so if you're here today and you're jacked up, messed up, tore up from the floor up, God can, will, and wants to use you. And the more messed up you are, the more spectacular fashion he uses your life. And I'm a living testimony of that. I'm a convicted felon. I couldn't get a job at a bank or an airport or a daycare, but God let me be your pastor. Hey, and if you got a problem with it, you can take it up with management. Don't email me. Email Pastor Rick or email God. Both of them will care equally as much what you think. No, but seriously, actually, the leader of one of the most powerful, most influential leadership groups in the world, John Maxwell, some of you have probably heard of him, read his books. John Maxwell is the foremost leadership expert in the world, or at least one of them. John Maxwell is a born-again, spirit-filled Christian who actually got his start in leadership as a pastor. And so John Maxwell had his team one time do a fake or a mock consulting gig with Jesus's employees, if you will, the 12 disciples. This is what they came up with. This is the letter they wrote to Jesus after they evaluated the team he had chosen. Are you ready for this? It says, "Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken a series of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but we've also conducted an in-depth interview with each of them by our staff psychologist and vocational aptitude consultants." That's just a person that does job stuff, vocational, right? "The profiles of all tested are included, and you will want to study each of them carefully. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you're undertaking. They do not have the team concept, and we would highly recommend that you continue your search for persons with more experience, higher qualifications, and greater managerial abilities. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and is given to fits of temper." I could put my name in there. "Andrew," Simon Peter's brother, "simply has no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interests above the company loyalty and are quite boisterous. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine the morale in the ranks. It is also our duty to inform you that the Better Business Bureau of Greater Jerusalem has received reports on Matthew regarding questionable business practices. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and both demonstrate attitude problems which would present difficulty in their dealings with the public. However, one of your candidates shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, and has a keen business mind and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, responsible, and is not afraid to take the initiative. We recommend Judas Iscariot as the most qualified of all your prospective candidates. Sincerely, the Jerusalem Management Consulting Firm. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something today? The world may look at you and say, you're not good enough, you're not fit enough, you're not stable enough, you're not connected enough, you're not rich enough, you're not educated enough, but God doesn't look on the outside, He looks at the heart. Do you know that the most profound evangelistic individual in the early church was a woman who was divorced 5 times and living with another dude when Jesus met her? See, you and I call her the woman at the well, but church history calls her Saint Fotini, the light bearer, the mother of evangelism. What can God do with you? And so when we talk about the master plan, I just want to lay a foundation that it's not about your qualifications, it's about the one who calls you. And Jesus has a calling on your life. He wants to take the world over, and He wants you to be a part of it. Who's with me? And so when we talk about the master plan of evangelism, we have to understand that God has a plan, and it's not like our plan. Most of us wouldn't pick us for world domination, but Jesus did. Jesus did. And so today, when we talk about Jesus' plan for world domination, we got to start at what most of us call the Great Commission. And more studies are coming out showing that regular church attenders in this day and age, a lot of them, almost over 50% of them don't know what the Great Commission is, don't know where it is in the Bible, don't know what it means, may not have even heard of it. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28. It's the last chapter of the book. Matthew chapter 28, to see the Great Commission and how Jesus puts in motion His master plan for world domination. And I'm going to start reading at verse 16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It'll be up on the screen as well. Matthew 28, 16 says, then the 11 disciples, because remember, the highly qualified dude didn't make it. And here's the cool thing. Jesus still picked him knowing that. You think about that for a minute. If anybody should have been disqualified based upon the foreknowledge of God, it should have been Judas. But Jesus picked him still knowing his flaws, because Judas still served a purpose. Jesus calls him the son of perdition. He was needed to turn Jesus in. But in Matthew chapter 28, the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, those of you that are familiar with the Great Commission, you might be like, I don't remember this part. I mean, I know it's a couple of verses early, but I don't remember this. Well, this is where the Great Commission starts. The Great Commission actually begins with people taking direction from Jesus. Jesus didn't give them the plan in that moment. He said, meet me at this place at this time, and I'll give you the plan. See, and a lot of us don't like that. We want Jesus to download it all right now, because somehow we think Jesus is on our time clock. But Jesus gives an instruction, because here's the thing. If you can't follow simple instructions, how are you going to follow hard ones? Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus tells the casual followers, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? You know how many times I want to say that to some people? Why you call me pastor? Don't do what I encourage you to do. But see, Jesus gives simple direction. Be here at this time. And that's why this Saturday, this coming Saturday, 6 days from now, September 14th at 8 a.m., we're going to be here in this building to do a work day. Not just because the building needs, and there's things, like, can I tell you what we're going to be doing? We're going to be updating our entryway. There's going to be a lot of painting, some cleaning, hopefully building some furniture items, because the real thing, the big ticket thing, the thing that I love so much that I'm so excited about right now that I just, I'm dripping, is we're opening a brand new nursery for our ages 0 to 3. Because we don't do adult ministry with child care. We do children ministry with adult care. Yeah, I'm keeping you guys busy while your kids learn about Jesus. And so, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you can come early and have to leave before it's over, fine. If you can't be there at 8 and you can come later, fine. We're going to feed you. But you can sign up for it at the connection point. These are some of my favorite things to do. Because it's not just about getting a job done. It's, can we just take simple instruction? And really, it's us showing up and showing Jesus, I can be faithful with a paintbrush. Now you can trust me with a spouse. Or you can trust me with a raise. Or you can trust me with a better house. Are you hearing me today? Because the Bible says when we're faithful with the little, he'll give us the much more. And some of us don't have the much we want or think we should have because we ain't been faithful with the little. And so, be here Saturday at 8 p.m. We're going to complete the Great Commission. Because we're going to be creating an environment where your kids can begin to be discipled before they learn to walk, and where your friends and family members who don't go to church or don't have a relationship with Jesus, their kids can begin to get discipled too. Yeah. 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 Jesus doesn't want your heart. He wants the whole thing. Jesus came for world domination, and I'm on board. But in Matthew chapter 28, going down to verse 18, this is the part most of us understand as the Great Commission. Jesus came, he showed up, the disciples were there, and he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not the nations that you like, not the nations that speak your language, not the nations that do things the way you do things. All the nations. And that word for nations there is the Greek word, which is what the New Testament is written in, Koine Greek. It's the Greek word ethne or ethnos, which it doesn't mean geographic regions. It means people groups, ethnic people groups. Because Jesus just loves variety. Come on, somebody. Man, last weekend we were at our brother Josh. Some of you know him. He got married. Josh is from Ghana, and he had his wedding, man, and I tell you what, it was an experience. My goodness. The wedding might still be going on. I don't know. I had to come back home. But it was an amazing time. But see, that's I look around this room, and there are literally nations in this room right now. Not just, oh, I'm from this place because I did Ancestry.com, but like, I moved to here from that place. Yeah, man, this is what Jesus loves. And he says, I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Remember, following simple commands. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what we see here is that Jesus has authority and he gives authority. He says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he says, go. And the go there is to let you know you're going with the authority. It, like, if he tells you to do it, he's going to give you the power to do it. Ooh, my gosh. But see, this authority isn't to make your life better. This authority isn't to make your life more comfortable. This authority is to make disciples. And we do that by going. We do that by baptizing, right? People take their next step, an outward sign. Like, hey, if you really got Jesus on the inside, you ought to want to show it on the outside. And then we teach. And I love this. The going to reach starts before the teaching to serve. See, sometimes we want people to be cleaned up before they come in. But the only way they can get cleaned up is when they come in. And anybody that's ever raised children knows that a spiritual baby is just as messy as an adult one. And so we see Jesus giving his mandate and his authority to his disciples. to do what he did in their life and then repeat the process. Because here's the big idea for today. Jesus' master plan to reach the world requires people who are appointed, accompany him, and are authorized or have his authority. And so we see this in Mark chapter 3, right? The Great Commission is Jesus's one of his last conversations with his disciples, but Mark 3 is where he calls his disciples. And Mark 3:13 says, afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. So Jesus is picky too. And he picked you. Just think about that for a minute. My athletic prowess never let me be picked further than second for any sporting event in the schoolyard. I was just that good. I know. You're shocked. But I always wondered what it felt like to be the kid that was picked last or next to last. And I was like, I want to be him. But see, as we read this morning, like, all of us should be picked last, but Jesus picks us first. He says he called them and they came to him, again, following simple instruction. Be here, do this. Verse 14, then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him. Are you catching the theme? And he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. This is Jesus' game plan for picking his disciples. He didn't read the consulting report. He didn't do that. This is what Jesus is doing with your history and resume right now. It doesn't matter to him. He loves you and he knows you better than you know yourself. And he's picked you today. He's chosen you. He's chosen you to go and make disciples, to go and take over the world in his name by glorifying him and by reaching people that are far from him. That's what he's chosen us to do. And one of the things I love about the picking moment and the Great Commission moment is that both of them take place on mountaintops. Did you catch that? Because here's the thing. When God brings us into his plan, it requires a higher vantage point and an elevated perspective. God wants to show you things you've never seen. And there's an old saying, do you want to fly with the eagles or trot with the turkeys? And God is calling us out of our turkeyness. A wise prophet once said, it's not cool being a jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving. But God is calling us to soar with the eagles today. He wants to bring us up to give us a higher perspective. So let's take a look at these three things. Let's look at appointed. And if I haven't said it enough yet, I don't want you to hear it. You've been chosen today. You've been chosen by God. Even if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, but you're sitting here in this room under the sound of my voice, you think you decided to come here. And to a degree, that's true. But God picked you to come here this day because he could have stopped you if he didn't want you here. But he wants you here. He's thrilled that you're here. He's so excited that you're here. And for those of you that know Jesus and you've been serving, and there were people here at 8 o'clock this morning praying in a room for you. There are people here at 9 o'clock setting up, cooking food, making coffee, getting things swept, getting things in order. Why? Because we want to take over the world for Jesus. See, and you've been assigned because you have an assignment. Many people are appointed, watch this, but never walk in their appointment. Do you know some of the most famous and dynamic singers that we all stream their music, or for some of us had tapes of their music, or some of us had records of their music? You know, they started in the church. How many of you have ever heard of a lady named Beyonce? Anybody? Couple? Few? Yeah. She's kind of a big deal, I've heard. How about Whitney Houston? Any of you ever heard of Katy Perry? I'll get this. Her parents are missionaries. Yeah. How about the king of rock and roll, Elvis, baby? Uh-huh. All of these people started in the church. They were appointed by God to take over the world, but somewhere along the line,
either the church failed or they failed or both failed, and they were appointed but never walked. They missed their appointment. Don't miss your appointment, because it's hard to reschedule. God's appointed you. He wants you. He has a plan for you. Look at what John 15, 16 says. Jesus, red letters. You did not choose me, but I chose you. See, this blows a lot of Western Christianity. Like, you thought you picked Jesus. Like you went to the Savior store and was like, well, I like your swag best. Because that Muhammad dude, he wants me to dress funny. I don't want to dress funny. And I like pork. No, Jesus picked you. See, we have to, see, here's the thing. We have to shift that frame of reference in our mind. Because when we think that we picked Jesus, you know what happens? We start thinking we did God a favor by choosing him. And that's why even some of our Christian songs today make Jesus look like a lovesick boyfriend. Just, I hope you call me. He's a king! He's mighty. He sits with an iron scepter. He has a sword proceeding from his mouth. He formed the world and everything in it. He's not waiting on you, but by God, I'm waiting on him to move in my life. And I'm thankful that that mighty king chose me to be on his team. I'm appointed and anointed. So don't get disjointed or disappointed. And I'm thinking of something else that rhymes and... Clearly, I was not the musician, all right? He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. What's fruit that will last? Here's the fruit that lasts. When you take what God did in your life and multiply it in someone else's life. So that when you're dead, there's somebody that knows Jesus and knows how to follow him because of you. That's fruit that lasts. That's it. See, and watch this. There's a connecting point to this. Look at this. Because he says, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Maybe your prayer life isn't working because you're not working. I'm going to talk over here. Get on board with the master's plan. Make disciples. Bear fruit that lasts and watch your prayer life explode. Because you know what happens? When I get on board with the master's plan, I'm not giving him my requests. I'm praying for his prayer requests. What do you want, God? What do you want? See, American Christianity has made our decision to accept God's grace in Christ and turned it into us doing God a favor. No. We are favored because of him. But we have to engage our appointment. Second thing, accompany him. Accompany him. You want to hear a cool stat? I love this. Because it kind of confirms how I feel God leading me to do ministry. Right? Jesus spent 73% of his time with the 12 or just a couple of the 12. 73% of his time. 46 of the events that we see in Scripture is him with his inner circle, 17 are with the masses. Why is that important? Because spending time with Jesus matters. Spending time with Jesus matters. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is after Jesus has gone back to heaven, and the disciples just did the first miracle. They healed a man who was lame at the temple, and the religious people got upset about it. You want a good litmus test if you're too religious? See how mad you get when God works through other people. I'm going to be in trouble today, Derek. So they healed this dude, and they got mad. They arrested him, and now they're on trial. And in Acts 4:13, it says, now when they as the religious leaders who have them on trial, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and watch this, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, but they recognized that they had spent time with Jesus. Can I tell you something?
Time with Jesus will override whatever letters you have behind your name. Some of the most effective people that I know in Christ, they ain't even got GED at the end. Because they can't spell GED. But by God, man, spend time with Jesus. That's why we're having connection groups. Connection groups is one of the ways you can spend time with Jesus. Well, I'm spending time with other people. Yeah, other people that got Jesus in them. And a connection group is just a group of friends that gets together, reads the Bible, and prays for one another and helps each other take their next step in their relationship with God. It's all about Jesus. And so if you're not signed up yet, man, get out there and sign up. In a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity. And I'm going to point out, you're going to see who's going to do it. Do you know, like, oh, man, that dude looks cool. I'll go sign up in his group. See, he's appointed us, but we got to be with him. See, that's why some of the appointed people have missed their appointments, because they walked away from God. And there are times, look, I get it. Church can make people walk away from God, which is an anathema. It's preposterous. But see, the thing of it is, though, is we, even if people are mean to us, we cannot let them chase us away from our relationship with the Holy One who calls us beloved. So we're appointed, we accompany him, and the last thing is this, you're authorized. You have authority. You, hear me today. Hear me, please. You have been given power by Jesus. Romans 8 calls us more than conquerors. You might not feel like it. See, but if you don't feel like it, that's because you're letting your feelings and your circumstances dictate what the Word of God says. And I would strongly encourage you to embrace what the Word of God says. Because here's the thing. When we embrace the Word of God and we take it to heart, and we know that the Word of God is truer and better than anything we see or face, then what happens is a transformation happens inside of us where now we actually start living out the Word of God instead of living under our circumstances. And if our circumstances says you're crushed, you're useless, you're lonely, you're worthless, I read the Word of God and says, I'm made whole. I will never be forsaken. I am beloved. I am appointed. And now I start walking with my head high and my chest out, and circumstances don't have an effect on me anymore. You have power from Jesus. And we haven't even gotten into the supernatural power that he talks about here, casting out devils and healing the sick and all this other stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons we don't see that as much in our culture, because if we're honest, most of us are just trying to tap into the power to not be in despair by the end of the day. But if we can tap in, because we know that we're appointed, we know that we are with him and he is with us. That's what God spoke to me. During that quiet time, God said, I'm with you. Because if I'm honest, sometimes I wonder why he would even bother with me. And I've followed him long enough to know that I can't do this without him. And I don't mean just this. Like forget doing one of the scariest things that studies show for people to do. Get up in front of people and talk. Forget doing this. I don't know if I can be a good dad. I don't know if I can be a good husband. Actually, I don't know if I can like me without Jesus liking me. He's given us power, and the Greek word for power there is exousia. There's several words in the Greek for power. One of them is dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite. It's power. But see, exousia is different, because dynamite power means that it's exerted strength. But exousia is delegated authority. And here's the best difference demonstration that I can give you between dynamite power and exousia power. Catch this. A police officer is not strong enough to stop a speeding car by standing in front of it and exerting power. But he or she has been delegated authority that just by holding up a hand, that car should stop. See, we might not be strong enough to bear the weight of our lives, but God has given us the authority to not come under the pressure that weight causes. You have been given power because the same power that Jesus has, like he said in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I give it to you. See, and some of you are like, I'm not operating like Jesus. Well, you know what? If I gave some of you a power drill, you wouldn't know what to do with that either. But if you start working with it, and more importantly, you get somebody that knows how to use a power drill into your life, connection groups, get around somebody that knows how to operate in the power that God's given them. Get around somebody that walks in freedom and victory and authority and anointing and appointment, and then just do what they do. Just do what they do. Because the authority isn't to make your life better. It's to make disciples. Amen? Amen. But this time I'm going to have, if you're a connection group leader or a connection group apprentice, I just want you to stand to your feet right now. Just stand up. I'm doing the math in my head because I have a pretty good idea who should be standing up. I'm going to get you if you ain't. Now, some of them are serving in different things. But these are the men and women who have been appointed. And not just picked because we like them. They've gone through a process. Because I said leaders and apprentices. There are people that are learning how to do this. Because here's the thing. At this church, our small groups are not just like, hey, we hang out and chit-chat. Our small groups is where pastoral ministry happens. So these men and women from our elders and our lead pastor have been delegated pastoral exousia to help you walk through situations in your life, to help you learn the Bible, to help you learn to pray for you, to pray with you. These are the men and women. They're awesome. They're awesome. And so right now, what they're going to do, they're going to leave this space and they're going to take their places at their respective posters out in the hallway. And you'll see them there. You'll get a chance. But take a look around. And I don't want you to just pick, but pray. If you're a lady, go to a ladies group. Because then it won't be weird for the guys. And if you're a guy, go to a guys group so other guys don't have to show up and remove you. Because that will happen. 100%. And it will be me. Say, God, not should I be in a group, but what group should I be in? I want you to think about it. A lot of them are in the evenings, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Some of them are in the mornings. We got a couple of ladies groups that meet in the morning time. We also have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery, which is a recovery ministry. So if you're someone struggling with hurts, habits, and hangups, and are looking for hope and healing in Jesus, then maybe Celebrate Recovery is where you want to go. That happens on Monday night at 6:30. You can sign up for that too. But right now, I'm going to release you connection group leaders to go ahead out and find your place. I'm a connection group leader myself. And so as I get ready to depart, I'm going to have another connection group, couple of connection group leaders come up and tell you some amazing things, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and stand there. And now each group has a limit. So you got to get in there. Lindsay's group is full. So Lindsay must have a lot of people prayed. And if I was a lady, I'd probably be in Lindsay's group too. I don't know. But you can fill out this card with your information and hand it to that person. So you can start filling this out. Or if you need a pen, they're all over the place. We'll get you a pen. And that's how you sign up. Make sure you fill all of it out, email, phone, get all that signed up. And not only are these individuals who are coming up connection group leaders, but they're what I lovingly refer to as the MOB, or as I like to say it, MOB, mother of boys. So y'all better be on your best behavior. Avery and Sandra, help us know some of the amazing things that God is doing here at Bridge City Church. Thank you, Pastor John.